The Sharia, in fact, tells us that in times of distress and in times of danger, priority is given to our safety rather than the communal worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I thought that the topic of this khutbah would be a perfect elaboration of a principle that our Sharia revolves around. And that principle is, memorize this, difficulty begets ease. When things get difficult, the Sharia gets easy. When life throws you tough challenges, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eases things up on you. And this is one of the five major principles of our fiqh. Our fiqh has something called principles, maxims. In Arabic, it's called al-qawa'id al-fiqhiyya. And there are five qawa'id, five fundamental rules that all of fiqh revolves around. And one of these rules is al-mashaqqatu tajlibu al-taysir. Difficulty begets ease. This is one of those five rules, and inshallah maybe other khutbahs will talk about the other four. These are one of those five rules around which every single ruling of Islam is a manifestation, is an elaboration. And today's email, and alhamdulillah the weather is not that bad, so we have alhamdulillah a great amount of people here. Today's email is a manifestation of this simple rule that when things get difficult, Allah makes things easy. And the meaning here is that the more constrained, the more difficult life is, then the easier Allah's rulings become in that particular situation. And this rule is based upon so many evidences from the Quran and Sunnah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants yusr for you. And yusr means ease, comfort. وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. And Allah does not want usr. Allah does not want difficulty for you. So of the goals of the Sharia, Allah does not want to make things difficult for us. Allah says in the famous verse of Surah Baqarah, and it is not just in Baqarah, it's in five other places, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. No soul shall have more to bear, to carry, than it can physically carry. You will not be burdened with more than what you are already capable of taking care of. And therefore, by the way, as a footnote here, no matter how bad your life situation becomes, know one thing. Whatever Allah has tested you with, He knows you have the patience and the iman to overcome that test. Or else you would not be put in that test. Allah has given us an ultimatum. I will not put on you a burden more than you can hold. And all of our burdens, and I have burdens, and you have burdens. All of our burdens, Allah has tested us with, knowing we have the power, the capacity to withhold them. And the test, of course, is to carry as much of a burden without it getting too difficult. And in fact, Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he comments that this verse, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, it demonstrates that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to do only that which we're physically capable of doing. And that He has not asked us to do that which is beyond our capacity to do. And in fact, one of the roles of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as specified by the Quran, one of the tasks, one of his chores, was to lift the burdens that had been placed upon us and to make things easy for us. Of the titles of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Rahmatan lil Alameen, the one who is merciful for all of mankind. And Allah Azza wa Jalla describes our Prophet in the Quran, عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتْتُمْ. He finds your difficulties difficult to bear. He sees you in pain and he is hurt. He sees you suffering and he does not like it. And Allah describes our Prophet in the Quran, يَأْمُرُهُمْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Our Prophet commands the people to do good. وَيَنْهَاهُمْ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And he forbids them from evil. وَيُحِلُّ لَهُمُ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَيُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ. He allows for them that which is beneficial and pure. The halal is good for you. And he forbids the khaba'ith. Everything that is haram, brothers and sisters, it is harmful for you. Take this as a general rule without any exceptions. Zero exceptions. Allah says, our Prophet is making halal what is good for you. And he's making haram what is filthy and bad for you. My dear brothers and sisters, every prohibition in the Sharia is harmful to our minds, to our bodies, to our souls. And that is why it is haram. Every single haram in the Sharia is filthy, is khabith. يُحَرِّمُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْخَبَائِثِ وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ. This is in the Quran. وَيَضَعُ عَنْهُمْ إِسْرَهُمْ وَالْأَغْلَالَ الَّتِي كَانَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ. And our Prophet ﷺ lifts from us the burdens that had been on us and the chains and shackles we were in. In other words, our Prophet ﷺ is lifting our chains and shackles, i.e. making our lives easier for us. The Sharia is meant to simplify. The Sharia is meant to bring physical and spiritual comfort. Following the Sharia makes us healthy. Following the Sharia brings spiritual happiness. And disobeying the Sharia is spiritually harmful and yes, physically harmful as well. Our bodies will suffer. Our minds will suffer. Our society will suffer. Our progeny will suffer if we do not follow the laws of the Sharia. So our religion is characterized with ease, with gentleness, with comfort. A Bedouin came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, أَيُّ الْأَدْيَانِ أَفْضَلُ أَيُّ الْأَدْيَانِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. Which religion is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And our Prophet ﷺ responded, hadith is in Bukhari, الْحَنِيفِيَّةُ السَّمْحَى الْحَنِيفِيَّةُ السَّمْحَى. Two words. Hanifiyya, you know Ibrahim was described as Hanif, right? كَانَ حَنِيفَ. This is Hanifiyya. Hanifiyya means you are following Ibrahim. You are worshipping Allah alone. That's Islam. Then he added a word, al-hanifiyyatu as-samha. And samha means that which is gentle, that which is easygoing. Not a harsh, not a strict, not a stick in your hand all the time. Samha, lax, easygoing, lenient. The religion of Ibrahim, that is a gentle, easy religion. Al-hanifiyyatu as-samha. And that is the religion that is the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another hadith in Abu Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna hadha ad-deena yusrun." Once again, the same word yusr. We all know yusr. That, fa'inna ma'al usri yusra, this is yusr. Inna hadha ad-deen yusr. This religion is a gentle, easygoing religion. This religion in hadha dina yusr. And wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, 99% of us, we think the religion is difficult. We think the religion is harsh. We think the religion is meant to punish us. We think the religion is like a yoke and a burden. And Allah says in the Quran, your prophet has been sent to you to lift your burden from your back, to get rid of the chains you have been in, to free you. This is what the Quran is saying. And wallahi, it is so sad. We think the religion is stifling us. We think the religion is putting shackles around us, putting chains around us. It is a difficult religion. And Allah says, yuridullahu bikum al-yusr. And the Prophet said, inna hadha ad-deena yusr. This religion is an easy religion. Walan yushad هذا الدين إلا غلبه. No one will make the religion difficult. So look, the person has to make the religion difficult. The religion is never difficult. No one makes the religion difficult except that the religion shall overcome him. If he makes Islam difficult, then yes, Islam will become too difficult. This is what the Prophet is saying. وَلَنْ يُشَادَّ هَذَا الدِّينَ إِلَّا غَلَبَهُ. Whoever tries to make Islam difficult, he will not be able to do that. Islam will overcome him, meaning religion will become too difficult for him. Allah didn't make the religion like this. Allah made the religion with ease, with comfort. And whoever tries to make the religion difficult will be overcome by that endeavor, and the religion will become impossible for this person. Not because the religion is difficult, but because the man made the religion too difficult for him to do. And therefore, there are so many examples in the seerah and in our rules of fiqh when Islam is practiced in a gentle, in an easy manner. There are so many examples. Of them, the most famous example, which is Bukhari and Muslim, that once in the month of Ramadan, the Sahaba and the Prophet ﷺ went out on a ghazwa expedition in the month of Ramadan. And the Prophet ﷺ had told them, look, you don't have to fast, it's Ramadan, we're on a journey. We all know, when you're fasting, it's Ramadan, you don't have to fast. Still, some Sahaba fasted in Ramadan. If you're traveling on a journey, you don't fast in Ramadan. You don't have to fast. These Sahaba were traveling, it's summer, it's Ramadan. And the Prophet had said, you don't have to fast. Still some Sahaba fasted. And those Sahaba were struggling because it's hot. And the time for iftar came and they just collapsed. And the ones who were not fasting took charge of preparing the iftar, setting up the tents, feeding the ones who were fasting. And so our Prophet remarked two things. Number one, the famous hadith, لَيْسَ مِنَ الْبِرِّ الصِّيَامُ فِي السَّفَرِ. It is not righteousness to fast when you are traveling. This is not taqwa, to make Islam difficult on yourself. And then he said, today, the people who cooked took the ajr over the people who fasted from the food. Today, the people who took charge of this, they took the ajr over and above the people who fasted. Because I told, he didn't say, I'm saying, he's basically telling them, you don't have to fast. And they think, no, it's Ramadan, no, I should fast. So guess what? They fasted. Our Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ مِنَ الْبِرْ الصِّيَامُ فِي السَّفَرِ. It's a famous hadith, muttafaq alayh. It's not righteousness to fast when you're traveling if the fast makes your life difficult. Now, to as a footnote here, scholars say it's allowed to fast, but if fasting will make life difficult in Ramadan when you're traveling, then you shouldn't fast. But if it's neutral, if you have 1 hour flight, 20 minute flight, it's not necessary to break your fast. But these people, the Sahaba, are walking in the desert in the sun and it's middle of the daytime. Of course, fasting is gonna make life difficult. So our Prophet ﷺ said, لَيْسَ مِنَ الْبِرْ أَصْصِيَامُ فِي السَّفَرِ. And then he said, the people who took the ajr today are the ones who were not fasting. Because they're the ones who serve as the ones who were fasting. And therefore, the more difficulty arises in our lives, the more concessions the Sharia gives. And there are so many examples of this. What types of concessions can be given? Sometimes the wajib stops becoming a wajib. So for example, Hajj is wajib. But if you cannot afford it, it's not a wajib. Hajj is wajib, but if you're too sick to go, it's not wajib. Hajj is wajib, but if the journey to Hajj becomes dangerous, in those days there would be sometimes some paths, some roads would become, they would have bandits on it, for example, right? Between city X and Mecca would have bandits. If the road becomes dangerous, the scholar said, no, even if you're healthy and even if you have the money, but if the road is dangerous, then Hajj is lifted from you. So the wajib becomes non-wajib because of the circumstance. Also, we have sometimes the wajib is lessened because of the circumstance. For example, when we are traveling, what do we do with our 4 rak'ah prayers? We pray them 2 rak'ah.